Oh, come on, if you know the word, just put your hands together. One word. Tell somebody sitting by you, one word. Jesus told Martha and said that, Martha, one thing it needs for. Hallelujah. You don't need many things tonight. You just need one word. Hallelujah. I pray that that word will come to you. That sure word will reach you and transform your life in Jesus' name. Your army is weak tonight. Are you ready for that one word? I told you that we have come to the mountain of instructions, to the place where God is releasing His wisdom and His will unto us. It is a mountain of transfiguration. A mountain where change is taking place from within as a result of the word you are receiving. I believe that we will not live here the same. Already I see transformation taking place. The change that is taking place will be evident on you, even to the core, that your clothes will start glittering. The countenance of your face will start changing. Praise God. As I was preparing and coming, I was telling mommy, and at the same time she was also thinking about it, how in the dawn the scripture I used on 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20 was exactly the scripture that Kofi also used. And as if we had planned. And not only that, we've seen similar expressions through different men of God almost narrating the same things. God has a plan for you tonight, and I believe that you are ready to receive. Come on, are you ready to receive? See, the reception of God's word comes with an attitude. You can easily reject the word based on your disposition. It's not that you don't love the word or you don't want to receive the word, but the manner in which the word is reaching you cannot find expression with you because of your disposition. Are you with me? And I pray that your spirit will be open wide to be able to absorb the word tonight. Tonight, I'm privileged and blessed to have my beloved share with us the first word. I'm not done. Let me say more. Oh, you're not ready for more. Yeah. Over the years, I must confess that I've loved the woman she has become. Now, I want to say this to encourage everybody here, that if you avail yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to work on you, you can also become a better person as you move on. When we got married, she wasn't like that. She didn't like talking, but when she gets angry, you can't stand. By the grace of God, I have personally loved the woman that I married. Praise God. Over the years, God in His own way has nurtured him, has brought her through processes and training, and is still working on her. Praise God. And I'm excited anytime she shares God's word and she's preaching the word of God. Hallelujah. She says that as for her, she's not called. I'm the one called. So, but then it looks like now she's taking over the calling. Hallelujah. And I thank God for her life. She's been very instrumental in our ministry. And the peace of mind I have is because of her. Yeah. When Pastor Reverend Edu was speaking about sharing your husband, I knew she knew what he was trying to say. Because she has the heart to share me with almost everybody here. Yes, yes. And it's amazing. Praise God. Yeah. Without much ado, we'd like to welcome our mother to give us the first word. Come on, do it better.
Oh, you can do it better. This is unto Jesus. You are not doing it for me. You are doing it to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the I am that I am. Do it better for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I thank God for tonight, for your lives, and for each and every one of us here. To the Bishop of the House, I say I salute. Thank you so much for this privilege again given me. And to all the ministers of God here, I salute. Hallelujah. Kindly take your seat in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Anytime I am called on to come and share the word of God, like I feel myself that I'm not adequate. Oh, I can't do it. Because today, look at the word of God, the sequence of it. It's just flowing so powerfully. So when we went back to the room, I told that, hey, I'm on for the marking scheme, look up very high. And he said, you can do it. I know the grace of God is at work. And it was just something that was running through my mind. When you have Papa around and you are preaching, we just be marking you. When you close, you call you. Why are they in Kahanka? Also, you can say, hallelujah. Amen. So I'll be like, wow. Engineer, come mark me. But the grace of God is at work. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful to you tonight. Thank you so much, Father, for the day. Throughout the day you have been with us, your presence has not left us. We thank you once again that we are before you, O God. We've come before your mountain once more, Father, to receive from you. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, may you have your way. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, use me, Father, O God, as a blessing unto your people. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, may you break your word, Father, O God, into millions of pieces, that each and every one of us here will receive a portion of your word. I thank you, O God, and I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together once more for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I was fixed for 2 days in the program, so I prepared my notes for 2 days. But then I was told I'm just taking this evening, so I'm going to be very fast. I'm also going to take certain things out. I know in due time I'll be able to share into some of these things. But if you see me rushing, then it means that I have to collapse some of the things that I have written so that we can move very fast. Hallelujah. We know the theme for this camp, and it is what? Taking heed. Blepo. Oh, I can't hear you. Blepo. Hallelujah. And to take heed means to pay attention. To pay attention. To care for something. And so, we have gathered here. And the Lord is instructing us to take heed unto the ministry, unto what he has given into us, unto what we hold in our hands. We are supposed to take care of it. We are supposed to pay attention to it. If you will be able to pay attention indeed to the ministry, to that thing which you hold, to that blessing God has blessed you with, then I believe that one thing, in addition to what has been said throughout the day, that is also very important, that is also needful, is that we pay attention to obedience. Hallelujah. And so tonight I am speaking on obedience, the highest requirements. obedience, the highest requirement. Obedience also means that to comply with an order, a request, and then also submission to another's what? Authority. So we have gathered here tonight to submit. Even as we enter into the year 2022, we are going to be given instructions as has come in the morning. We are giving instructions, and if you give your instruction that you are supposed to sit down and you don't sit down, it means the instruction, if the instruction had not come, it would have been better. Because we give you an instruction and you are supposed to follow that instruction. God is a God of order. He doesn't want to confuse his children. He doesn't want chaos in his house. And that is why he has not left us alone. That is why he will not just say, worship me. He will not just say, do this and do that. Even man, when man makes something, when man manufactures something, he gives an instruction to how to use it. And so that is how God has made it. And our instruction in this kingdom, our instruction manual in this kingdom is the Bible. Hallelujah. It is the word of God. Hallelujah. There are instructions everywhere. Wherever you find yourself, there are instructions. Even in your own very home, you have some laid down instructions that you expect to be followed. Hallelujah. And likewise also, when we come into the kingdom of God, God has laid down instructions. He has principles for us. He has ways for us. Hallelujah. Please, let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Papa said it this morning. The word of God is to reprove us, is to correct us when we go wrong, is to give us instructions, and the instructions that are given us, we are expected to follow. Hallelujah. Amen. The instructions of God direct us as to what to do. It shows us, it directs us as to what to do. There are so many instructions, so many of them in the word of God. Hallelujah. And because of the time, I can't go through it. I was saying that no matter your status here, even as you are sitting here, the status in which you are in, if you were a father, there are instructions in the word of God for you. If you are a mother, if you are a single person, if you are married, if you are a husband, if you are a wife, there are instructions that God expects us to follow. Hallelujah. After we have come here and we just go back and there is nothing to show for it, we go back to our various ministry departments and there is no change. There is no change of heart. There is no change in the way we do things. There is no obedience to the word of God, to the instructions, the various instructions that we have received here. Then it would have been better if we had stayed at home. Because we know that it's Christmas time. And as is expected, we are expected to be with our families. But we have all sacrificed to be here. And if you live here, and the word of God or the instructions that are coming are not being followed, then it would have been better if we have stayed at home. Hallelujah. You see, it doesn't matter how long you pray. It doesn't matter if you can even fast for the whole year. You can fast from January to December and you don't obey instructions. It is nothing. You can pray your head out. You can do whatever you want to do. But if you do not follow instructions, it amounts to nothing. Hallelujah. You see, when it comes to obeying the word of God or obeying the servant of God, it is not about how you feel. Sometimes, it might not even be convenient for you. Yesterday, when we went back, we know that we didn't really close early. But around 10, Daddy has to call on somebody to send to go and bring pillow from church. And I was like, oh, it's too late. I mean, we are all tired and we need to sleep. But you can imagine, this person came in for the car key, went back to church. The person forgot to take the keys from daddy. He had to come back and go back and bring pillows for daddy to sleep on. And I was like, wow, this is powerful. Hallelujah. And that is Bombolo. Give up for him. Give it up for him. You see, sometimes obeying, it is not easy. It will feel very awkward. Why should I do this? Because Papa Fred this time, then he'll be your best man. So he won't even pick up the call. But he did. Obeying is very hard. It is not about how I feel. Oh, yeah, I can't say, let's do this, but I don't feel like doing it. No. The word of God has come, and we must be obedient to it. Let's go to John chapter 2, verse 5. In obeying, it is not easy. Sometimes it does not even make sense. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Whatever he tells you, do it. Don't complain. Don't ask why. And do you know what Jesus asked them to do? Fill the water pots. Or say, fill the pots with water. Does this make sense? They said their wine is finished. They have no wine. And you are telling us to fill the pots with water. What has water got to do with wine? But we all know, when they obeyed, what happened? The master said, anyone who is preparing a feast will serve the best. But why have you reserved the best for the last? Hallelujah. It is in obedience to the word of God. Hallelujah. When we disobey God, it comes with a cost. It is dangerous. It is very bad. You see, Satan has no agenda with you, with your money, with your car, with your house, with whatever possession or whatever that you have. The only thing that he is interested in is to take you away from obeying the word of God. That is the only thing that he is requiring from you. Because he knows that when he attacks that, when he attacks you, obeying instructions, complying with what God has said, complying with what the servant of God has said. You can imagine if Jesus told them to fill their water pots with water and they had not done it. You can imagine the shame that would have come upon that couple. The shame that would have been tagged to that couple. You see, when those things were happening, the couple, they didn't know what was happening behind them. They were just sitting, enjoying. They didn't know anything. But by the obedience of the servants around, shame was taken away. You see, that's what I'm saying. The devil is not interested in any other thing but to get you to disobey the word of God. When he came to the Garden of Eden, he wasn't interested. You see, God said, let's make man in our image. I was reading something. The person was like, immediately God said, let us make man. Because God did not consult the devil, he was angry. But you, who are you? God did not consult me. You should have said, Satan, let us make man in our image. Can you imagine? He said he consulted the son. Let us make man in our image. And then he said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, replenish. And the devil was like, oh, really? So these are the blessings that you are pouring on them. Okay, then I know what to do. Then he came back to Eve and he said, has God said? Has God said? Has God said? Has the servant of God said? You see, he comes in with words and he will just trick your mind. If you know the instruction that God has given, but when the devil came in some way, Sana, sometimes that is what we do. Papa say, I didn't want to use that example, but that is a very good example. Papa say, yenshe, straight dress, white, with a black shoe, with a fascinator, And then somebody will go and consult the person. Like in the morning when Reverend Alito was talking, he said, "Hey, now Papa, what can I say?" And now we see Papa give instructions sometimes to the head of the what can I say, Shada. And then the information is also disseminated down. And then it's like sometimes like it's the fault of the Shada committee or whatever who have said we are supposed to wait. Now if you are done in some. What instruction was given? If you have any problem with it, is that the best way to go about it? Is that the only way you can go about it? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it is death. Is that the best way that we can go about it? Instructions from above are expected to be obeyed. Hallelujah. You see, the devil just came so subtly, he said, in a very cunning way. You will not even talk. You will be like, keke. It's more than 1,000 words. The whom you did, it's more than 1,000 words that you have spoken. And it can say a lot. It can give a lot of information. You see, when we don't disobey, then certain things come into place. When you are given instruction, do this, do that, and you don't do it, it moves us from the place where God has placed us. It moves us from our throne. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were moved out of Eden. They lost their place. They lost their authority. When I was just wondering over, I said, anything I say, you won't tell Frekra, I need you, Nana. Is that the reason? Because you can imagine, when God made Adam to name all the animals, Adam was some kind of a nature. He was a kind of a nature. To have that intellect, to name every animal on earth, those in water, you can imagine. The intellect that God gave to Adam, and just by mere fact of, do not touch this one. He lost all of that. See, you who Tefra, you are too needy. When we disobey God, fear sets in. He said, when I heard your voice, I was afraid. Papa has given an instruction. You didn't do it. Papa, then you begin to run away. And when we don't obey, we begin to blame others. We begin to shift the blame. It was that one. This one said this. This one said that. It happened in the Garden of Eden. When God came and he asked, Adam, where are you? He said, when I heard your voice, I was afraid. And he said, have you eaten the fruit that I asked you not to? He said, it is the woman you gave me. Wasn't it that same Adam who said, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh? And now he is blaming the bone of his bones and the flesh of his flesh because he has what? Disobeyed God. And when God went to the woman, he said, woman, what have you done? And she said, it is the serpent who deceived me. And God said, it's okay. I am tired. I am not going to ask any question again. So he just went straight to the snake. He just went straight to the serpent and said, because you have done this, because you have done this, this is what is going to happen to you. When we begin to disobey instructions, we tend to shift blames on others. Hallelujah. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans 5:19. We can get the story of Adam and Eve. We all know from Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 to 14. You can go and read that. But kindly give me Romans 5, 19. For as by one man's offense, disobedience, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. When we disobey God, if not for grace, it can lead to a whole generation. And that is why we are considered as sinners. We are considered as being, because we are the seed of Adam. It can transcend into a whole generation. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that by the obedience of one man too, we have also been made righteous. Hallelujah. Quickly, let's look at, okay, we began with Adam and Eve, some people who disobeyed God. Let's quickly move to Numbers chapter 20, verse 8 to 12, about Moses. Moses was also a man who disobeyed an instruction from God. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. He said, speak to the rock. Please continue. Notice, the God said, speak to the rock. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as commanded him. Kindly push it. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, listen, God said, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. He was specific. Speak to the rock. And Moses said unto them, unto the people. He was supposed to speak to the rock, not to the people. He was so angry, he said, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? God said, speak to the rock. He didn't say, speak, insult the people, speak to the people. He said, speak to the rock. Let's continue and let's see what happened. Is that all? And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, and he smote the rock twice. Instead of Moses speaking to the rock, he used his rod to smote it. And this is what made Moses lose his way onto the promised land. You see, the whole journey of Israel moving out of Egypt, the final place of destination was to get to the land of Canaan. That was the final thing, just to get there. But Moses, out of anger, he disobeyed God and he lost it. So it doesn't matter. How, you see, when you read, I think Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10 or so, the Bible says that there has not risen any prophet like Moses. No prophet. Because God spoke to him face to face. Someone that God spoke to face, he lost his way to the promised land because he was disobedient. And I think Kofi said something that, or was it Reverend Albert? He said, "Kaya treche, nyametiase, krampo enya accident, na afibi a sign." So you can imagine, if God could let Moses forfeit the promised land, where he asked him, take my people out of Egypt, send them to the promised land, he lost his way out. Disobedience is dangerous. It is bad. Again, let's look at Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 to 9, because of the time, we can't read, but kindly give me verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. 15, verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, push it. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to a poor village girl called Esther, an orphan, due to dishonor and lack of disrespect. Vashti lost her throne. Because the Bible says, wives, honor your husbands. That scripture was not in the head of Vashti. And so, she lost it. She lost her throne. Hallelujah. We can also get an example of Jonah, Lot's wife, Cain, and all that. You see, Cain's story interests me so much. You see, you can be talking to God. You can be having a conversation with God. But nothing can happen in your life. Nothing can go on in your life. That is why I said you can pray and pray and pray. But if you fail to obey the commands of God, nothing will happen. You see, because of disobedience, the Israelites, they were just marking time. 11 days back to the promised land, they were marking time, just going round and round. Just going round and round. It just caused a delay. Is there any delay in your life? Is there anything that is delaying in your life? It is not the doing of any witch. I always say this. It is not the doing of any witch. It is because you have failed to obey simple instructions. Papa said it in the morning. If you see a man excelling, making it, don't ask for the wealth. Ask for the instructions. And it is not just asking for the instructions. He or she obeyed the instructions. Imagine if you go to a malam, when they go to the malam, see the kinds of things that they have to do. Imagine. They can even command you to go and bring your wife, your child. Then you say, oh, I'm going to think about it. Sometimes going to think about it, go and hear about them. I'm going to think about it. You go and you come back. And you say, I'm going to do it. Without you fulfilling it, there is no way that thing which you want will come. That is how it is, even in the secular world. And so when you see somebody, going on and all that, are you ready for that sacrifice? Are you ready for that? Hallelujah. However, there are people too who were also very obedient to the commands of God. And our number one example is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's read Romans 5:19 again. By the obedience of one, many were made righteous. By the obedience of Jesus Christ, many were made righteous. Please give me Philippians 2:8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. And he obeyed. If not for obedience of Christ, we wouldn't all be here. If not that Christ obeyed, because he was sent, just as we have all been sent into the ministry, into Miracle Manor Church. It is not just by default. It is the orchestration of God that you find yourself in this church at a time like this. Jesus was sent in time and he had to be obedient. And the only thing that he was to do was to die. He was sent here to come and die for you and I. That was the finality of his coming here. If he had come, he had done all that and he had not died. I don't know where we would have been. But by his obedience, we are all here. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
You see, Jesus knew the kind of death that he was going to die. He knew the kind of death that he would die. And it was the death of the cross. A shameful one. You and I here, we don't know the kind of death that we would die. But to know. In fact, sometimes, you kind of say, more death sentences. Sometimes they say you'll be electrocuted. I don't know what goes on in their minds. What goes on in their mind? Imagine Jesus knowing how they were going to treat him. Yet, he was obedient unto the cross, the death of the cross. Can you push it for me? Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. See, there is no name that can tell that the name of Jesus, there is no name on earth. It doesn't matter how this coronavirus, what is it doing? When it was time for Christmas, or Christmas was approaching, who was talking about it? We are talking about Jesus. God has highly exalted him. So when you are obedient to the word of God, you are obedient to instructions, you are lifted up. You are promoted. He said, a name that is above every other name, that at the sound of the name, by the hearing of that name, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Another person who also obeyed the word was Abraham. We have heard a lot about Abraham. And he's been referred to as the father of faith. Abraham, get up out of your kindred, out of your land. Move to a place where he did not, God not even tell him, a place. He said, yes, sir. Abraham, I will make you great. Count the stars. That is how great you will be. That is how your descendants are going to be. He has not seen anything. He said, yes, sir. When the child of promise arrives, he said, take thy only son and go and sacrifice him. A child he has waited for 25 good years. He had to go and sacrifice him. By obedience, he did. Hallelujah. Again, Noah was a man of obedience. God says, build the ark. In fact, I watched a movie on Noah, and when you see the way the people were just ridiculing him, na de na kwe oye. Na o prem wa mo nyina mesenko. Enter the ark. Na ni page na ho. Animals were even being obedient to the word of God. Animals were obeying him. And enipa. Yeni agia ma chere se. Yeni agia broso ma chere se. We don't see the need. And then at the end of the day, They all perished. So I was asking myself, so if Noah, if the people had just obeyed Noah and just entered the ark by not even repenting, they would have been saved. Just go and enter the ark, keke. Wouldn't him say, Nyamibia ni ho kra, you just enter the ark. It was just very simple. And it is happening. And we think, oh, those times need the HM. Maybe if the Bible were to be rewritten some million years to come, and maybe we'll be in heaven. You didn't say heaven. Maybe you are not going to heaven. Maybe it would have been recorded. it would have been recorded. Hallelujah. Again, Peter was an obedient man. When Jesus approached him, "Give me one of your boats. Cast the net." Any fisherman knows that. I mean, I know the work I'm doing. This time, we can't cast the net. It is over. But by obedience to the word of Christ. You see, he said, "We have toiled all night. Nevertheless," I love the version which says, "nevertheless, at thy word." Nevertheless, is there any nevertheless in your life? Jesus even had a nevertheless. He said, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me." Nevertheless, nevertheless, it is hard for me to obey. This thing that Daddy is telling me to do, it is so hard. I can't do it. Nevertheless, at this word, at thy word, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be obedient. We know the end of Peter's catch. Aside catching fish, he was also a catcher of men. Hallelujah. When we are obedient to the word of God, we become God's most treasured possession. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." I don't know if you have the Amplified version. The Amplified says, "Then ye shall be my treasured possession, even though the whole earth is mine." The Bible says that the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. "But if you will hearken to my voice, to the commands that I am giving you, you will be a peculiar possession to me." Imagine, you have possessions, especially a man, you know how to keep it. You know where to keep them. You know also where to keep it. So if that thing is precious to you, is your treasured possession, imagine you becoming God's most treasured possession. God's most treasured, a peculiar nation, a peculiar person amongst all the nations of the earth. Any pen in where we are seeing, you are my most treasured one because you are being obedient. Hallelujah. When we are obedient, we become God's place of abode and God manifests himself unto us. John chapter 14, verse 21 to 23. John chapter 14, verse 21 to 23. "He that had my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is that that thou will manifest thyself and not unto the world?" 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And we will make our abode with him. God comes to dwell. So wherever that you are moving, you are moving with God. Wherever that you are going, you carry God with you. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. This was a scripture that Daddy said again in the morning. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, too, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. The Lord will set us on high. He will set us on high above all nations. Above all nations of the earth. Because we are being obedient. We are keeping his commands. We are hearkening to the voice of God. Why is it that we fail to obey? Why do we fail to obey? Why is obedience so difficult for us? I believe that it is an identity issue. Identity issue. We know who God is. We know what he can do. Who are you? Where are you? Where do you stand with God? Do you really know yourself, who you are in Christ? John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. You know who God is. You know his power, what he can do. How about you? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know. Rabbi, we know. We know that you are a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. See, we know. We know you. We know who you are. But these things that you are doing, except God is with you, you can't do it. Let's hear what Jesus told him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, you have to be. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you the be that God wants you to be? Who are you? Maybe I think we don't know ourselves much. But Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew who he was. When the devil came to him, after 40 days of fasting, the devil came to him. Please give me Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 3. Jesus knew himself. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. It is not just about turning the stone into bread. He wanted to really know if Jesus knew who he was. It is not just about turning stone into bread. If thou be the Son of God. And I believe Jesus was just laughing in his head. You yourself, you know who I am. You know me. Don't you remember when I was being baptized? That voice that came from heaven. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Did you hear that? And now you are asking me if I am. And Jesus, I'm not even going to reply that, because I know who I am. We sing, I know who I am. I am. Do you really know who you are? Jesus said, I'm not going to even answer that question, because I know who I am. But he said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word. But by every word. The word that is coming. The word that I have been asked to do. It is not about turning stone into bread and all that. That is not just it. I know who I am. I know what I stand for. Finally, because we don't obey because we do not place much value on the word. We don't value, or there is little value on the word of God. In fact, we don't even know the word. Some of us don't even know the word. You can't search a Bible in a good team. I mean, I can't do that. I don't know anybody who can do that. But you should know the word. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee." Have you hidden the word of God in your heart? Is the word of God in your heart? We asked the ladies to read the book of Luke, the whole book of Luke, from chapter 1 to 24, from the beginning of December, from 1st December to 24 December. By that time, you would have read the whole book. I asked their daughter, "Are you reading?" He said, "I'm watching a movie. I'm watching a movie." Said, "Oh, you are watching a movie. Have you read what we asked you to read?" I don't know how many of us even read. It's like we don't even care. But you can't live by bread alone. You will live by the word of God. You will survive in this ministry by the word of God. Because when things hit you so much and you don't know the word, there is no way that you will survive. There is no way that you will survive. And kawan kain kran, the whole yank, what kind of book of Luke? In person, maybe say, how many of us read? But I'm sure most of us does not read. And kawo from day 1 to 24 December, the whole book of Luke, how can you read? And there is much power there. So much of the word of God. I don't know how you value the word of God. If you really you love the word of God as you love the way you eat your best food. The Bible says the word became flesh and it dwelt amongst us. The word, it became flesh, meaning that the word of God can be touched. It can be touched. It is because we are not valuing it. It is because we are not even reading it. You pick your phone and straight you go to WhatsApp, Facebook, and you are just Facebooking. But it could be the Instagram. The way it will eat up your credit. It will eat up your credit. If you are going to do something better, I know there is something better there, but as for that place, anytime I go there, it's about clothes, shoes, and all that. So I just decided I'm not even going to subscribe there. I don't even know. In fact, if sometimes I go to work and I just want to go out for somebody to just drive me somewhere so that I can just pick my Bible and be reading. Just by reading. Love the word of God. Because that is what is going to help us. That is what is going to, be with us in this life. Unless you don't want to be here. Unless you don't want to find yourself in this, or you are just here, No. The word of God should be something that you cherish. You start reading. Even if you don't understand, you read. Because I'm not the one who wrote it. It is inspired by God. You just read and you will see where God will take you. Hallelujah. In conclusion, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is our whole duty, to fear God and to keep his commands. Without that, there is nothing that we can do. Know that the commands that God has always given. You see, God gives us a command and he goes ahead of us. He is ahead. Once he has given you the command, he is ahead waiting for you when you have finished obeying that command. When he told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son, he had made a provision, but Abraham did not know. God went ahead of him. So as the instructions are coming, God is ahead. Even if it is difficult, even if we can't do it, God is always ahead of us. And he is waiting for us at the end of the tunnel to make provision, to give us strength, to help us do it. Hallelujah. In the Exodus, God knew all the obstacles, and we know the great signs that he did to deliver his people from the hands of Pharaoh. He knew what he was going to do. He had everything calculated, and he made a way for the people. Let us hold dear the word of God. Let us hold dear the instructions. We can come, shout. Papa is talking about sanctification. We heard of dedication. We heard of honor. We've heard of obedience. More is coming. But if we do not hearken to the word of God, if we do not go by the word of God, then may the Lord bless his word tonight. If you were blessed, put your hands together and celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah.